Amen. Thanks, Adrian. Can I encourage you to have an expectation for the extraordinary? Church, I'm asking you, can I encourage you to have an expectation for the extraordinary? You know what? Life can be pretty ordinary and mundane sometimes. Does anyone know what life's like when it's like that? Just ordinary, going about doing your business. Today was one of those days. I got up this morning. It was pretty ordinary. The cat was scratching at the door to be fed. I fed the cat. I made a cup of tea. I dropped the cup of tea in the clean laundry basket. It was a pretty ordinary day. I got to church. The top button on my trousers popped open. I'm still holding it together with the belt, but you don't need to know that. I got home later on, I walked the dog was pulling it and it had diarrhea and I had to clean up the diarrhea. It was an ordinary day. But listen, I want to encourage us that the ordinary of life doesn't exclude the extraordinary of God. And if we are Christians where we walk, we should expect that heaven and earth collides. Church, I want to encourage you to expect the extraordinary in your life. And I want to encourage us as a church, I want to see that released in our lives, that we have an expectation for the extraordinary as we live lives filled with the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost. We should be excited. Yeah, great, isn't it? You know what? We read about Pentecost. We read that the disciples constantly got together after Jesus ascended. They ate together. They prayed together. They worshipped together. They got together in that time. But then something took place. There was a suddenly that broke into their ordinary. There was an extraordinary that broke into their ordinary. There was a sound from heaven. And what could have been a holy huddle broke out that day into a global mission. The Great Commission came about as the power of the Spirit broke out. And we've got every reason today to celebrate the Pentecost as we remember the Pentecost. So as we celebrate and you're nice and comfortable in your chairs, I'm going to ask you if you would just stand up for a moment more, because I want to pray over us as a church that we would have a fresh sense of expectation. We need the suddenlies of God. We need the power of His Spirit to break out in our life, to move us from getting too comfortable in our Christianity. We can be sat settled in what's convenient when He wants to move us to carry His heart to the nations. Church, and I just want to encourage us today, in this moment now, that expectation arises in our hearts. Whatever kind of ordinary day or week or life we've felt we've had, there is still room for the extraordinary of God to move in. So would you join me and just pray for our church? Pray for your lives. Pray for your families, that there'd be a sense of expectation that rises in this time for each of us. Come on. Come on, church. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Fresh sense of expectation. Fresh sense of your fire falling in our lives. Fresh sense of your miracles and power released. Come on, church. If we're desperate for God to move in our town and in our lives and our families, let's break that sound barrier tonight. Jesus, we need the suddenlies. Jesus, we need your suddenlies. Oh, shibari yada yada. Move us from convenience to carry your heart. Oh, in Jesus' name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In this place tonight, we ask that you would do something extraordinary. Oh, Jesus, break through. We pray for a fresh wave of your Spirit in this place. A fresh wave of your Spirit. Fresh fire to fall. Fresh fire to fall in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Expectation rise in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow. Amen. I want to encourage you, keep that sense of expectation and openness of heart tonight, just as I share a few things. You might want to grab your seat. I'm sorry about my voice. 1 minute I'm sounding like Barry White, and another minute I'm sounding like an 11-year-old squawky boy. But you've got to put up with it tonight. I'm sorry about that. But listen, today is Pentecost. If you've got your Bibles, open them up, pop them open to Acts chapter 2. And I'm not going to read the full chapter there of chapter 2, but I would encourage you to go away and read it tonight when you leave this place. Just an incredible story, an incredible point of what happens in the life of the early church. And we read there, chapter 2, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, as I said a minute ago. Suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Yeah, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire, oh, someone called the fire brigade, appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. Oh, I love that. Just noticed it. They came running. They want a polite pitter-patter, a little jog. Oh, what's that noise all about? They came running. They came running. And it carries on saying, where was I? There we go. Chapter, verse 6. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. What does this mean? These people are all from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, here we go, all these different places. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia. It always gets me that one. Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans, I used to call that Cretans, but it is Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying they're just drunk, that's all. And then in that moment, Peter stood up and exclaimed, they're not drunk as you presume, and went on to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he had done. And then it carries on that the people were pierced by the words of Peter as he stood up in boldness, full of the Holy Spirit. And they said to him, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you and for your children and even for the Gentiles. And he continued to preach for a long time, strongly urging all the listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then we read that day that 3,000 people repented, baptized, and were added to the church. That's some Pentecost day, isn't it? And you know what? This wasn't the first time that Pentecost was mentioned in the Bible. In fact, though, it was the last time that Pentecost was mentioned in the Bible. Pentecost was a Jewish feast that marked the 50th day after the Sabbath of Passover week. It's also called Feast of Weeks or Feast of Harvest or Day of the First Fruits. And it's just incredible on that particular day, how amazing that God had planned for a harvest of people. The first fruits of the Christian church on Pentecost. And this was a watershed moment. Event in the Christian church. In fact, it was the birth of Christianity as a new community, a purposeful and powerful people and movement. So you can turn to the person next to you and say, happy birthday, because today is the birthday of the early church. We remember that. You know, Jesus didn't come and the Holy Spirit didn't move to start a powerless church, but a power-filled church. And that power cannot be replaced by some program. And even in the early church, we read that there was programs to help the widows, to feed the widows. They had a program, but the program could never replace the power of the Holy Spirit. For us as a church, we've been sharing at our welcome lunch today. We've got fantastic programs, great things that take place in the life of this church. But the programs will never replace the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe that Jesus died and rose again and sent the Holy Spirit for a weak-kneed, people-pleasing, culture-shaped Christianity, but a dangerous, powerful, culture-changing, dynamic, and even persecuted church for today. And it's been sad in the news this week. I've seen something about a church that it's just going for a particular license to perform gay marriages and all sorts of things that are creeping in to the church today. But I do not believe that Jesus went through all that he went through and gave us a gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can be culture shaped by the world around us, but in fact world transformers through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And even in the persecuted early church, they said an incredible prayer. It wasn't make us rich, make us comfortable, all those things. It was make us even more bold, Lord God. What an incredible prayer to pray. Wow, what an incredible prayer would it be for us to pray? And what would that mean for our lives? I just want to share a few things of this Pentecost day for us as we consider, and we will pray for one another tonight. But A.W. Tozer, a great man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said this: Pentecost didn't come and go, it came and stayed. And we're living in the midst of it. I love it. Pentecost didn't come and go, it came and stayed, and we're living in the midst of it. The Holy Spirit still moves. The Holy Spirit continues to do his work in and through us. In the ordinary days, he can step in and make it extraordinary. I remember when I was at university and I really desperately wanted to share my faith with some of my friends, but they made it quite clear they had a dislike for Christians because they were all hypocrites. So one day I thought, there's a cafe in the city centre, it was back then, that was owned by Christians, and I thought, I'll take them there, and they can look at some of the Christian tracts on the table, and there may be something that'll happen. And it just turned out to be an ordinary coffee out with some people, and just an ordinary thing that took place, just like any other coffee out. And I felt quite disappointed because it seemed to be just one of those ordinary days where I'd get back to the course and they take their mic again and all these things. But they said to me, well, we've gone with you to that cafe, we're coming with us to this shop. And this was just an ordinary shop. Got into the shop and we were looking around, and there was candles and all pretty things like that and beads and that. And then there was an A1 board next to a curtain in the shop, and it said, tarot card reading, let us tell you your future. And I thought, I feel a little bit uncomfortable about that. And I started under my breath to sing the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm not going to sing for you. You're all right, especially with this voice today. And something extraordinary took place. The lights went out. And then a couple of minutes later, the owner come out. Sorry about that. Lights came back on. And then something twigged within me. I thought, wow, there is power in the name of Jesus. And so I started singing again under my breath. And the power went off again for a couple of minutes. The owner got it back on again. And all my mates were still looking at candles and edging towards where they did the tarot card readings. And for a third time, I started singing. And a little bit louder, with a little bit more boldness and confidence. And the power went off altogether. And the owner had to tell everyone to leave the shop. Now, you can imagine the conversation starter that was when we left that. One, because they heard me singing for the first time in their lives. But also, what was that all about? There is power in the name of Jesus. And the suddenlies can come into our life in the most ordinary of circumstances. Going for a coffee with some of your mates. Maybe the extraordinary can take place as we look and lean upon Almighty God. And this is what we see in this place. And I just want us to consider for a moment. And Adrian touched on that this morning. There was a continuing. And as A.W. Tozer said, the Pentecost didn't come and go. It continues. And there's the continuing bigger picture of Pentecost. If we just see Pentecost being about a day where the fire fell on the followers and believers of Jesus, then that's only half the story, because there's a fuller story. story, we read that there was an and there was more to follow. The story continued. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There was an and. There was a but there was an and. And God still continues to fill his followers with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Adrian mentioned it this morning. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And the and is in that story is also imperative for us as a church today. And we will be his witnesses. And because the Holy Spirit fills us too, continually. And there's so much about this event that was just a one-off. We don't read of the same thing happening again and again. But it was perfectly aligned for God's purposes and his promise to be released. And it was only the beginning. It wasn't just about an outpouring, it was about an overflowing. Steve said to me at the start, what did you say? Wise words. It wasn't just a filling, it was a spilling. That's good, that. Make a note of that, everyone. Tweet that. It wasn't just a filling, it was a spilling. Great. And from the outpouring came the overflowing, and from the overflowing came a wave that swept across the world and continues to do so. And I just believe that as the Holy Spirit is still at work today and in our time and in our town, I believe that as we commission and continue in him, we'll see incredible things happen. And then we see that there was continuous work of the Holy Spirit, but we also see the conditions. Anyone seeing the news this week, you might have seen the wildfires of Fort McMurray in Canada. I think they started around about early May, maybe the 1st of May, and quickly spread across thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres of land, totally destructive. I think there's something like 80,000 people that have been displaced. There's thousands of homes that have been destroyed. They say that it's one of the biggest evacuations in Canada's history. It's costing millions and millions of dollars. But how did it turn from one small flickering flame to a raging wildfire? Well, I was listening to a report the other day, and they said three things. Three things factor in to the reason why it spread so rapidly. It was said it was the change in the wind, accelerants in its path, but also the conditions, dry, hot weather. That's what the report said. And it wreaked destruction. It wreaked havoc. It's dangerous. But we see in this story that the fire that fell on the believers on that Pentecost day, it was supernatural. It was powerful. It released a new zeal and boldness to live for Jesus. It was constructive, not destructive. It was the start of the early church. But we see those three factors in there as well. There was the change of change in wind. It says that there was a sound like a mighty windstorm. A new era had begun. There was winds of change. Anyone remember that song? Was it by Scorpions? Show me age. No. Not going to sing it. No. Not with this voice. Wind of change. There was a change in the wind. And it was the wind of the Holy Spirit blew through that place. But also there was the accelerants. There was the accelerants. There was open hearts. There was obedient hearts. There was willing vessels. There were listening ears. There were responsive people for every nation who were represented in that place. And it dawned on me this week, how incredible was that? That every nation that heard and were represented was a nation who carried that message back to their homes afterwards. The fire spread. Those who had gone there were also to go back in their droves. Wow, the accelerants that spread the flame. But also the conditions were right. We read that the conditions were right. That Jesus had said before to the disciples, to the believers, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And this was the time. 10 days after they'd last seen Jesus ascending to the heavens, 10 days later, 10 days of waiting, 10 days of listening, 10 days of preparing their hearts, 10 days of leading on the Holy wait and waiting for the Holy Spirit. This was the time. All those nations converged in one place, a place where the disciples was praying. It was absolute optimum positioning. And it wasn't a coincidence either, because it was all part of God's perfect plan. They made themselves available. And I wonder for us tonight, church, will we be available? Will we be available for the Holy Spirit to move in and through us? Will we, a condition of our own heart and mind, be open and willing to move as the Holy Spirit moves in us? I believe in the nation as well. At the minute, the conditions are right for God to move in this nation. And there's things that we think ordinary about this nation. There's things that gripe us about this nation. There's things that we see in the news that we just think, why, oh, why, what are they thinking of? I just believe God is on the move. God is on the move. And there's incredible stories about Muslim refugees finding Christ and being built into the body of Christ. Incredible stories that are taking place, because sometimes we only are prepared to look at the ordinary instead of wait and be expectant for the extraordinary. And I want to encourage us to have a fire in our heart, to as Paul wrote to Timothy, to fan the flame, fan the flame. And then we also see that the disciples were commissioned. And this was the beginning of the Great Commission into Jerusalem and then the rest of the world. And the rest of the world wasn't in the four walls where they met and were gathered. But we read that there was a sound that arose and broke out of those four walls to where the rest of the world was. And Sally, can you remember when we went to Guyana? We went to Guyana quite a number of years ago on mission and to serve the church over there. And it was just crazy. It felt like they were there for 2 years rather than 2 weeks. And with church hop, so they'd tell us, oh, you're speaking at this church, and you go to speak at this church. And then before you finish speaking, you're about to pray for the church. They whisk you off to another church to speak at and share your testimony. Incredible time there in Guyana. But I remember distinctly one of the churches that I went to speak at was a church, and it was probably not dissimilar size to the shop, maybe a little bit smaller. It was rammed with people. In fact, members of the congregation were sitting on each other's knees just because they wanted to get in there. What I saw was a passionate, spirit-filled church who were just excited and expectant for what God can do. And I remember they said to me, and it was just a small room, and they said, here's a microphone. And I said, I don't need the microphone. I've got a big enough mouth, and I'm sure they'll all hear it in this small room. They said, no, we want you to use the mic. So I used the mic just to oblige. And then afterwards, they whisked me off to the next church. And I discovered outside in the Sikh village where this church was planted was a PA system rigged up with underground wires that led to the church's PA system. Unbeknown to me, I was speaking out the gospel into this Sikh village where they discreetly set up this PA system. That's why they wanted me to use the microphone. The sound had broke out of the four walls of that place and had been carried into that Sikh village. I don't know what the outcome was. I'm just glad I was driven off quickly. But I just think for us as a church, what would it mean for us to raise a sound that resounded in our town? And what would it mean for, just as the disciples in that time, for the people who were visiting that area in their droves, the Jews, they said, what does all this mean? What does all this mean? What is this all about? Imagine, church, that as we raise a voice, as our spirits are filled by the Spirit of God, as we step out in boldness, what if people say, what does all this mean? And we've had it. We've had it. People walking past our church with the doors open, especially in the summer, and they've come in. They said, what is all this about? What does this mean? I love that. I love that. I love William Booth as well, one of my heroes, founder of the Salvation Army. He unsettled the religious people of the day, and he sensed the commission of Christ in his heart. And in fact, the story goes that he gave his life to Christ, and he said, "God, I don't know what you're calling me to, but I need you to show me." And that, then he opened the front door of his house, stepped out into the street, and he saw the prostitutes, he saw children begging, he saw the homeless, and he said, "Right, God, I got it. That's what you called me to." And he was just crazy. He used to, because the homeless, prostitutes, beggars, children who lived on the streets were all banned from the church back in that time, the established church in the area, he would bring them back to the back door and get them to sit in the aisles and on the rows because he was so desperate for them to hear about Jesus. I love that. I love that tenacity of William Booth. But he also said this: "The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." Religion without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And that Pentecost, the Spirit ignited their heads with tongues of fire and blew on the embers of their hearts to burn for God. And how about us? How about us? This Pentecost day today, are we willing to break out the four walls to reach this world, to commission with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in our world? The power of the Spirit gives power to our witness. And as we read that day, some 3,000 people were saved, repented, baptized. And that's not just down to a few good men and a brash fisherman who found his mojo and so stood up and told a few stories. It wasn't because of those reasons. It's down to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in that time. It's down to a few believers that held onto Jesus' promise to wait for the Holy Spirit's power. It's down to them being filled with boldness to stand in the face of ridicule and proclaim a message. I'm going to invite their worship team to just come back, and we're going to pray shortly. But I want to encourage us tonight, but also challenge us, because the Holy Spirit is all about the tongues of fire coming upon the believers that day and filling them. But the Holy Spirit is also about filling and sending and reaching our world and transforming the world around us as we embrace what the Holy Spirit is doing in our time. And I really believe that God may look to release gifts in our house, in this church. God will look to release. God sees the potential in each of us in this place tonight. He sees that what we can do. He sees those things that he's gifted us with. But I want to encourage us as well. There's potential in you through the power of his Spirit to use those gifts, to release those gifts in this church, but also outside of this church. I was so encouraged the other week by Jonathan, just that as he shared his testimony of standing up in front of his workmates, full of the Spirit, full of the peace of God, just declaring that message of Jesus Christ. Wow, it's the power of the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit. I want to encourage us, as Jesus promised, you would do even greater things. You do even greater things. Not greater because he did the ultimate in giving his life and dying for us. He did the ultimate. Not greater in that sense, but to a greater capacity as we all live and serve Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit impacting our world. Can I invite you just to stand, and we're going to worship together. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit that day, took those people from just being a group of people, took them beyond to the beginnings of the body of Christ to impact the world. Oh, Jesus, I pray that the fire that burned that day in the hearts of those believers would once again burn in our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit would come like a mighty windstorm and blow on the embers of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we'll be not settled for the ordinary, but really look to you to bring the extraordinary into our lives and the lives of those people around us. Lord, I pray that we would be filled and fueled, ready to give an answer of what does this mean? What does this mean? Oh, in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Father. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you take us now from a moment of hearing your word to momentum in our lives. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. It was in the waiting, it was in those 10 days of waiting, as its disciples, the believers, waited, that the Holy Spirit moved. And just as their band played for us, we're just going to take a moment to wait upon the Holy Spirit. And maybe, as he already has tonight, maybe the Holy Spirit will just prompt you with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, an encouraging word, a prophetic word. Let me encourage you to come and share that with Adrian, and we'll share that collectively then. Let's just wait and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Oh, come Holy Spirit.
Let it fall on me. Let it to our God. To our God we'll lift up one voice. To our God we'll lift up one song. To our God we'll lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we'll lift up one voice. To our God we'll lift up one song. To our God we'll lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we'll lift up one voice. To our God lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let it fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let it fall on me. To our God. To our God we'll lift up one voice. To our God we'll lift up one song. To our God we'll lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God lift up one voice. Lift up one song.
God, we lift up one song.
Let your fire, let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let it fall on me. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire. Lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall.
Fire fall.
Let your fire fall.
Fall on us.
Let your fire.